like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 20. 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort.
Hey, everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you by Atlanta Business Radio X, right here in the studios in Sandy Springs, where every week we interview some of the brightest and best business owners in the state of Georgia about the do's and don'ts of starting, growing, and creating a successful business. You know, the Shrimp Tank, we also bring you these live pitches from time to time. We bring in these kids, the people that have the dreams, their future of tomorrow, the entrepreneurs that are going to build businesses here in the state of Georgia in front of our panel of business owners to see whether or not their business will swim or sink in the tank. And as every week, or almost every week, he was gone for a few weeks and then he came back and then I was gone and now we're back together again here.
We got reunited and it feels so good.
I love that. When you can make a Peaches and Herb reference, right? That's pretty good. The fact that I know that says that I probably paid every B-side on whatever my dad had for 45s in the house. So welcome everybody to the Shrimp Tank. I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director and founder at the New Shore Center for Entrepreneurship at Kennesaw State. And for those of you that don't know what's going on at Kennesaw State, we tell you everywhere right here in the Shrimp Tank that we know that what's going to make America great, there's all this political stuff that's going on right now, but what's going to make America great are the business owners that create the jobs for the people's futures of tomorrow. And who's that going to be? Is it going to be the kid that gets a 1580 on their SAT, spends 4 years in school, and then ends up dialing up Starbucks as a barista? Or is it going to be somebody that goes to Kennesaw State and gets a degree in entrepreneurship and then leads and builds a business for the future of tomorrow? So what's going on at Kennesaw State right now? What's new in the summer? I know we're coming into the fall semester here soon.
Yeah, things are gearing up and things are getting excited as we lead students in entrepreneurship, lead business owners as we're surrounded by the best business owners and entrepreneurs in the Southeast, and lead educators. And so summer, because so many of the students are gone, most of the things that have been going on have been dealing with the educators in entrepreneurship, teaching teachers how to transform kids' lives in entrepreneurship.
Now, what do you do in like the off season here in school? Because you guys don't have any tests, so it's not like you have to sit home and create a multiple choice exam,
yeah, exactly.
Right? So,
yeah, you can't what do you talk about behind bubble the scene? Your way to success. But one of the cool things that we did just recently is actually an entrepreneurship camp for 4th and 5th graders. So can you believe that? 4th and 5th graders.
Entrepreneurs?
About building their dreams. Absolutely. So we did a camp, which was really, really fun.
Anything outside of a lemonade stand? Or
all kinds. You know, the dreams that these kids have and the innovation that they have, it's awesome. So yeah. And so we took a group of kids and for 2 weeks just inundated them with entrepreneurship and experiential sort of activities to sort of uncover that entrepreneur within. And it's amazing when you do something like that, how you see a difference and a transformation. Like you see a lot of kids leaving there a little bit better versions of themselves.
Yeah. Is it also true, by the way, I had heard recently that Kennesaw State is now in the top 10 universities in the United States when it comes to food. Of all things that
food,
the,
absolutely.
Yeah, apparently the 8 or 10 restaurants that they have now at Kennesaw State puts them in the tops in the country for food.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And not only is
that's
the food
the kids
really
food.
Qualified, by the way, and food quality has certainly changed since our days of college. Food is actually quite impressive. And the amount of choices and all that. I've actually had students get off the meal plan because of gaining weight. They're like, you know, it's just too good. So they're like getting off because, hey, I put in 15 pounds since I've been on the meal plan. But what's interesting is not only is it really good food, but it's all sort of farm to table, hydroponics. They're growing lettuce in there and all that. You get to see that. So it's pretty amazing how they do that.
Half my meals, Mr. Hanks, were Chi-Chi's at 2 a.m. on the way back to the dorm. So you know what that probably looks like, the side of the road. But we're going to bring on our guest in just a minute, Greg Abel, who's the owner of Tailfin. I'm really excited to talk to him today because if you want to learn about marketing, public relations, how to do media, He's worked with some of the biggest and best companies in the United States. So not only as a business owner, but helping you think about your marketing plan as well. But I always like to cover at least one topic. And while we're in this political season, I'm interested about your advice for business owners, because we had an amazing thing happen. We don't know if it's true or not, but we kind of know that it's true, that Melania gave a speech. Melania Trump gave a speech at the Republican National Convention last night. And pretty much all day today, what the news has covered was doing an overlay of Michelle Obama's speech from 2008 and Melania's speech from 2016. And literally, there are segments of her speech that are word for word from 2008. So when you talk to these, it's funny because people don't think this is ever going to show up on social media. It's like nobody will find out that we changed part of that speech until they do the overlay and put it on every national TV channel. But there are a lot of entrepreneurs that the whole idea is to be 10% different, right? That's what differentiates you sometimes. But what about those entrepreneurs that think they're going to go out there and potentially plagiarize an idea or copycat an idea? How do you talk to the kids in the classroom about this? Because I do think you're going to see more of this, where people get clever. They think they're going to hit an embedded file somewhere that nobody's going to see from some speech or some video. And at the end of the day, with so much social media, people are going to find out.
Yeah. And what's kind of interesting about that is, you know, once you lose that credibility, it's hard to get it back, right? Think Milli Vanilli.
Yeah,
right?
Although Donald Trump just denies everything. That's pretty much how he gets back. We didn't copy anything. My word is my bond. My word is my bond. It still sounded the same.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the credibility is the one thing that we can't get back. So as entrepreneurs, when we're building value propositions, we have to protect and enhance that credibility and differentiate it in the minds of the consumers. And sometimes, you know, so many people work on making their businesses appear different to their clients. Only 8% of customers actually agree that the person they're doing business with is different. So no matter how differentiated you are, and most business owners believe we're differentiated, most customers don't agree. And so a lot of times it's like, look, I don't necessarily have to be. And the example I give when I talk about this at length is I don't have to, you know, my goal, I'm a father of two children and my goal is to be the best dad in the world, but I don't have to compete against other dads to do that. I just have to be the best dad in the world to my two kids. And so in the same way, the business owners, hey, if I only have, you know, 1,870 customers, then I have to be the best to those 1,870. And how do I do that? And the main reason customers leave you is perceived indifference. That's why 68% of your customers leave you, is because they don't believe you care.
Damn, this is why I'm not going to be a professor. I couldn't put the statistics off like that. But we did hear that a few weeks ago when we had John Loud in the studio. He's built a very successful business here in Atlanta about how he treats those customers in sort of a fragmented business like security. We're excited today. By the way, you're joining us on the Shrimp Tank. We come to you live every Tuesday. We will be changing soon, but from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. In a couple of weeks, we'll be coming to you on Thursdays from 11:30 to 12:30. And you can always catch a replay of not only this broadcast, but all of them at shrimptankpodcast.com. And I'm pleased to have today Greg Abel, who's a friend of mine and has built a very successful business. And if you ever thought about getting into the world of marketing, I would say that if anyone wanted to be a John Hamm type character in Mad Men, Mr. Abel definitely fits that bill. He knows everything and anything about marketing. And so I'm curious just to start off today about how you decided to make the leap into building, you know, a marketing PR advertising firm.
Well, you know, I grew up and I think I wanted to be John Hamm. I'm going to have to remind everyone who works at our shop and all of our clients that was said for posterity today. You know, honestly, it was one of those things that, and it sounds really corny, but not probably 5 miles from here. Growing up, I was the editor of the high school paper.
No kidding.
And yeah, I know. Can you believe it? Yeah. Looking at me now, I probably wouldn't have guessed that. And it's one of those things that just kind of being a part of that storytelling and that the ability to really take an idea and boil it down into something that people wanted to consume was really interesting. That said, I'm not a journalistic type. I don't have the patience. I don't have the ability to investigate. So when I was up the road at the University of Georgia in their J school, this seemed like a natural fit. It was a way to kind of take a really big idea and bring it down to something very small, but can be very powerful and differentiating. So that pushed me into the ad world. And frankly, you know, this was the mid-90s, early 90s, coming out of school, getting a job wasn't that easy.
Yeah,
so, you know, as much of life is, it was a little bit of who you know. And I happen to know some folks in the ad game as well. So instead of going to law school, I ended up at McCann Erickson here in Atlanta. So it was odd that you made a Mad Men reference, because they talked a lot about going head-to-head with my old alma mater, McCann Erickson. So, yeah, many years ago.
So when you say marketing and all that, that implies such a large area. So why would a business owner engage you, and what would you do for a business owner who said, hey, look, my goal is I need more customers? What do you do for them?
You know, it's funny. I think the word marketing is a tough one. And it's one that we have played with over the years. You know, we are the quintessential cobbler's children that don't have shoes. We continually are tinkering and changing who we are. So we started off and it was tail fin marketing. Then we were like, no, we need to be a little bit more succinct. So it was more tail fin marketing communications. These days we are now tail fin creative and strategy. Luckily, I think we've been around long enough that it's just tail fin. But the truth is, probably the core thing that we see is when we have any business, and it can be somebody who's got an idea on a napkin, it can be a Fortune 500 company that's just stuck in the mud. When they come to us, they usually have a business problem that they realize they cannot change operationally to get themselves out of it. One of the things that we always say is it's way harder to turn the ship around. It's a lot easier to change the soundtrack. That's the communications role. Nice. And that's a little bit of what we do. So we have companies that are, you know, big and small that'll come to us and say, we need to figure out a way to energize or to change path or to take advantage of this next trend. And the first thing, it's funny, you guys opened up talking about being different. The first thing we say is, okay, let's discover how you're different. Because the truth is, being first is great. And it used to be back in the day that being first was the only way to determine who was going to end up being the leader. If you looked for years, Duracell, number one first battery, number one leader. Hershey, chocolate bar, number one, number one. Today, it's a little bit different. People are a little bit more selective. And some of them like the variety. I even love talking. I had this conversation the other day. I was traveling. Somebody was telling me how they perceive the difference between Uber and Lyft, which are literally the exact same service. The only difference is, in fact, many of the drivers do for both, you know, drive for both.
Yeah, they do both.
The only difference was attitude and how they kind of put their story forth.
True.
And that's one of those things that as a marketer, and again, I'm falling into my own trap with the word marketer, but as somebody who's a marketing communications person, we tell stories. So what we do is we help companies that have a story to tell, or maybe don't know they have a story to tell, find it and find the best way to tell it so it becomes compelling, even if they're in a parody business like when you see Uber and Lyft.
So where do you think, you know, you have a lot of young entrepreneurs that start businesses and there are older entrepreneurs that start businesses and they often make a ton of mistakes. But if you were trying to coach somebody who's listening to the program and talking about their brand, what are the biggest missteps that you see that people make when they try to brand their company?
I think it's the number one is you're too close to it. So people are looking dead in the mirror and trying to sell to their customers as though they are their customers.
Doesn't my logo look great?
Yes. You know? So that's one. And I can tell you as an entrepreneur, the other thing is I think there's a real terror. There's this inability to let go because it's your baby. You came up with this idea. You came up with this program. The last thing you want to do is trust somebody implicitly to go ahead and figure out what that story should be because you know the story. Problem is most people can't tell that story and they do a very poor job of it. And frankly, sometimes the story doesn't make sense or isn't compelling at all. And we see that all the time. I met with a group last week and I said, give me your elevator speech. 3.5 minutes later, they finished up. And I said, we better be in the tallest building in the world.
Yeah, right.
Because otherwise you're dead in the water.
Yeah.
So I think that's the real thing is that people, you know, we're in an industry, marketing communications, that everybody thinks they can do.
Oh.
So I sit around and watch the Super Bowl is a special kind of misery for me because we watch ad after ad and everyone tells me, oh, you know, I could have done that better. And it just breaks, right. You know, but everyone does think they can do it because everyone's a consumer of media and everyone's a consumer of marketing. But the truth is, I think for most entrepreneurs, it's not being able to identify what is their story, not being able to tell it effectively. And then the biggest barrier to getting to those places is they just are too afraid to trust somebody to help them do it.
Chris, it seems like to me, if you start out with scantily clad women, that seems to work most of the time. You know, I'm, you know.
That or puppies.
Yeah. Puppies, yeah.
Puppies is a big one.
So is there any advice you could give to somebody who's listening or a student who's listening, you know, and says, okay, well, I may not have the budget to engage Tailfin or something like that, but I need some advice on how to tell my story or how to create a message that really resonates with my target customer.
Yeah. You know, there's two things. One is, and talk about me getting old school here. There's a book called The 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing by Trout and Rice. And it's, I call it a book, but it's more like a pamphlet. I mean, it's really small, super easy read. And it lays things out. Granted, some of the lessons are a little old. One of the lessons is the law of ego, which they used Donald Trump as an example, by the way.
Did they really?
Wow. Yeah. They were sitting in his office and the whole time he said, I have no ego, while they're in Trump Tower sitting next to a 4 foot tall brass tee on the side of the desk. But it's
Trump is famous for saying, show me somebody who doesn't have an ego and I'll show you a loser. Yeah. That's a Trump quote.
Yeah, genius. what I'll say though is that that is a great place to start, but it's really only going to probably change your frame of reference and make you kind of think about how are we truly different? The other thing, you know, for us, it really comes down to a couple things. Understanding what your target needs from you. What is it that they are looking for? What is a problem that you're going to be solving? Understand where are they getting those solutions now? Whether it's somebody, it's a competitor that lines up across the line of scrimmage from you, or maybe somewhere a little bit tertiary or that isn't really a direct competitor, but how are they getting those needs fulfilled? And then figuring out how you fulfill them differently. One of the ways that we do that is we usually look at three things. We say, put down the benefits that you deliver and start at the top and say, what are the price of entry? Then what are the things that are points of parity? And then what are the things that are differentiators? Once you get through that, you just focus only on those differentiators. It's very tempting to want to focus on those points of parity. So in higher ed, a lot of times we see this. Everyone wants to claim that they're building leaders for the 21st century, right, or that they're innovating. If everyone's claiming it, it means nothing to anyone. So you have to find a different way to get to it. And that's, I think, the hardest thing for people to wrestle with, it because they want to say, yeah, but we do that. It doesn't matter. You got to find the way that you do it differently. And I think that that's where the real power comes. If you think about it, we use Chick-fil-A as an example a lot. If you look at fast food, the price of entry, you serve food reasonably fast.
That's right.
The points of parity, maybe they're a higher level of quality, but the differentiators, the things that make Chick-fil-A different, everyone says that that service is just absolutely out of this world, different than every other place, every single time. Their commitment, as much as it drives me crazy every Sunday when I wake up with a Chick-fil-A hankering, they've got a commitment to this is what we're about. We're going to stick with it. And they don't overextend. Everyone else is rolling out a new item every 2 seconds. Chick-fil-A has 7 items on their menu and always will have 7 items on their menu.
Note to Arby's, blow up the marketing campaign now.
I like what they've got going on now better.
We have the meats.
I love it compared to where they were just kind of all over the place.
No, that's true.
You know who I miss though? You remember Oven Mitt?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No, I didn't remember it until now.
Oven Mitt.
That was voiced by Tom Arnold.
The one that really crapped out and still does is like the BK Joe. Like, why do you put a big old fat head on a guy running around a football field? It doesn't make any sense. But then again, who thought that little kids would go like seeing a 6 foot giant rat at Chuck E. Cheese? Yeah. If we build a 6 foot giant rat,
just the place to go have some family fun.
So, hey, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Greg Abel, who's the owner of Tailfin. We're going to talk a little bit about our hot or not section. I'm going to ask Greg just what is a starfish when we come back from our break.
Are you tired of band-aiding your technological needs? Is your network security up to par with industry standards? Welcome to Secure IT from Savant. Secure IT is a monitoring solution that allows the team at Savant to proactively support all of your technical needs. We take the time upfront to learn your network so that we can resolve any issues. So why wait? Take the worry out of your technology. Call now to schedule a free network evaluation. 770-438-6240.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you right here on Atlanta Business Radio X, coming to you live every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be swapping out our show to come to you right at lunchtime. So you can grab that lunch, grab a cup of coffee, and tune in with us, with our business owners. Every week right here on the Shrimp Tank, we're trying to bring you some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs, not only in the city of Atlanta, but in the state of Georgia, and ultimately across the country. We interview these business owners, talk to you about the do's and don'ts of creating, starting, growing, running a successful business. We're here with our friend Greg Abel today, who's the owner of Tailfin, an extremely successful marketing, PR, advertising firm. I will tell you, having actually sat through one of their sessions, it's interesting because you think that you know how to execute a marketing plan, but I can tell you for sure that if you sat in just a couple of hours of a session with Tailfin, you would find out that you don't know a whole heck of a lot about your brand, not near what you thought you did. More importantly, the question is, how you execute a plan. So in this hot or not session, we like to talk to our owners about things that they think are hot or not in a business. And one of the things I think that's interesting is that when you're in any kind of service business, including the one that you're in, Greg, it becomes a question of how do you spend your time? Because really, when you have a high labor cost business, that's really all you have is time. And so Is it hot or not to segment out clients when you see companies that say you're platinum, gold, bronze, or, you know, and how do you go about doing that when you try to build a firm?
You know, it's one of the things you guys said at the very outset of this was that clients and customers need to believe you care. And I think that segmentation is an easy way to make some people feel like you don't care enough. So it's one of those things that we've had companies that are global Fortune 50 companies, and we've had companies that are a guy with a napkin. We want to try, and it's not always practical to execute it this way, but we want to try and make sure that both of those people are getting equal attention, or at least an equal level of attention that's, you know, that's on par with what they're able to afford. But the truth is that caring, that passion, it's funny, a lot of times we have more fun on the guy with a napkin than right. we do on the global conglomerate.
Right.
So for us, you know, there's something in it for us other than just fortune. You know, we often say that we like having a lot of fun. We like finding ways to have some fame. We like helping out friends. Fortune is a little bit further down the list, which right. may sound a little strange for right. somebody with an entrepreneurial spirit. But the truth is, if you're having fun, you're doing good work. If you're doing good work, you're getting good clients. All those things rolling together, you'll be successful. It doesn't have to always be a bottom line thing, but those segmenting, giving levels to people. I can't imagine if one of my clients found out that he was bronze.
Right. And you're a B-minus
yeah,
client.
And sitting next to him, I'm a platinum. Yeah. I just got on an airline today where I had to, you know, wait my turn. So I can't imagine clients really enjoying that.
You could have upgraded to economy comfort.
Yeah. Well, there's like 9 different categories now. Yeah, so.
All right. Hot or not, bootstrap or take on either debt or equity capital to grow a business?
You know, I think personally, and I do think this is a real personal decision. It's one of those things that I was raised with this sort of morbid fear of debt. I still have it. I hate owing people money. And so we were very cognizant that we worked very hard to be revenue positive from day one. So we have literally never borrowed. The only thing we have that's even close to borrowing is a line of credit that we have for emergencies. But we have always been revenue positive. And, you know, to Ted's point, I don't make widgets. I don't need to go buy a new, you know, factory piece. I don't buy anything except time and hours. And usually those hours are already booked before I have to actually consider how much they're going to cost me. So for a business like ours, for a service-based business, I don't think you need to really take on a lot of debt. I think you can be a little bit craftier. And frankly, I think that in our business, people look at in a marketing world, we are still sort of a bootstrappy kind of group. You know, we're 35 folks as opposed to 350 or 3,500 or 35,000. So our clients even give us a little credit for it that sometimes we hustle a little bit more, a little bit of the Avis, we try harder. So right. I think that they'd be a little freaked out if we took out a big loan and all of a sudden had a $1 million lobby or something like that. I don't think they don't really look to us for that. So for me, and again, I think it's a personal thing and certainly it's a situational thing based on the industry, but debt scares me.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank right here on Atlanta Business Radio X. You can always catch a replay of the interview we're doing with Greg Abel today on shrimptankpodcast.com. See not only some of our great articles, but our 30 or 40 interviews we've done with some of the brightest and best business owners in the city of Atlanta and across the state of Georgia. So I have a hot or not for you. Hire millennials.
Well, no, I'm kidding.
I surprised even Hanks with that one there. He liked that one.
I did. And I liked Ryan, the producer extraordinaire, shaking his head.
Oh, I just want a pay raise. I just want a pay raise.
You know, I think like every generation, it's so easy to hang the stereotype on them.
I know it is.
We have a whiteboard that's over one of the people that works with us. It's things that Alex doesn't know. That's whenever the old man makes a reference, you know, hey, remember that episode of Chips? And they're like, what the hell is Chips? But I think that the truth is it's a different perspective from top to bottom. I mean, the way that this generation grew up with technology makes them so much more agile and adept at understanding how rapid change can and should happen. And the idea or the notion that there's a sort of this disaffection and a handout and entitlement. I haven't seen it. We've had some of the best employees that we've had come through and really work their tail off. The only thing that I'll tell you that is a little bit frustrating for in my personal experience is they are also unbound by some of the rules and traditions of the workplace. So they don't think to themselves necessarily, And again, I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but they don't think, hey, I've got to stick it out at this job for XYZ years before I can do the next thing, because right. otherwise it's going to pollute my resume. What we see is people have come to me and said, I had this amazing opportunity. And before they can even tell me the whole thing, I can't get it out of my mouth quick enough to say, jump, go do it. You've got to do that. I had a kid that worked for me for years, and he came to me one day and said, my buddy's a radio or a producing music in LA. He wants me to come. We're going to live in like an entourage house with like 10 people. I was like, what are you still doing here? Get out. And it broke my heart because I love the guy, but it would absolutely have crushed my spirit to crush his and say, and in any way, talk him out of it. So I think that's the one big difference, or the one thing as an old guy dealing with that generation, is to be hyper vigilant in how we practice retention and how we express sort of our appreciation and value, because they're not afraid. They're not afraid to go grab that next opportunity, which is great.
And research shows if they stay with you a year, they feel like they've done you a favor.
You do catch parts of that, and you find yourself as the, you know, the get off my lawn old man saying, hey, that's not how we did it back in the day, and you should be thankful, young man. But you know, and I think that it does get through. But again, that nimbleness and the daring that I see in that generation, I think is something we can really capitalize on.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to come back with our lightning round, the plead the fifth. And Greg is going to have an opportunity to only plead the fifth once. I'm going to have to determine.
I was going to say, me not talking. Okay. We'll see how that works.
Determine what questions to answer. You listen to The Shrimp Tank right here in Atlanta Business Radio X.
Are you interested in engaging a targeted audience on location? Let me tell you about Radio In My Booth. We come to your location, trade show, expo, or conference, and conduct live radio for your constituency and your colleagues. Go to radioinmybooth.com for more information. That's radioinmybooth.com.
Hey, welcome back to The Shrimp Tank, coming to you live right here every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. We're changing our show times in just a couple of weeks to 11:30 to 12:30 on Thursday, so look forward to hanging out with you at lunchtime. You can always catch a replay of Greg's entire interview on shrimptankpodcast.com. We've got some great guests coming up in the next couple of weeks, so we got to look forward to all the shows that we bring you about this education. And if you didn't hear Greg's first couple of segments, you know, marketing is one of those things that's totally underestimated by business owners. And I can tell you this as you think about your business. A lot of times you're going to have different things to look at, but if you think about the three core things, marketing, products, and service, you have to ask yourself, we're not going to tell you the answer today, we'll do it next week or in 2 weeks, which one can you fail at? Which one can't you fail at? You know, I've seen a lot of people over time that had lousy products, but they brought a lot of people in the door and still made a lot of money. So I want you to think about that as you're thinking about growing and starting a business. Now, we like to get to our little lightning round here, which is the plead the fifth round. So we're going to ask Greg a handful of questions and see what he thinks, and we'll let Professor Hanks kick it off.
I'm leading off?
Yeah, right. I think so.
So what would you say is your biggest weakness that is keeping you from better results?
Clients now. I think one of the things is that because the space is changing so rapidly, expectations from a client to the agency are so much different than they used to be. I can remember, you know, when I started, it took 20 minutes to do a single color copy. Now we have folks that say, hey, I need a new video and I need it completed in 2 weeks. So the expectation is that technology has sped up so quickly that it can make things happen in light speed. The truth is there still has to be some degree of ideation, some degree of immersion and research, and even the execution, although it's way faster than it used to be, it's really difficult to match the expectations. That's largely because the expectations aren't set correctly, so there's a way out of it. But our biggest weakness is when we get ourselves into a place where a client's expectations may not line up with reality. Our other big one, we're terrible at saying no. Even when we really should. And I think it's a personal thing for me, and it's kind of the agency lives it too. We're so eager because, again, back to that, do you care? We're so eager and we care so much that we want to make sure that we can say yes, sometimes to the point where it puts us in a jam. And that's one of the things that I'm personally working on and trying to get our shop to learn how to say no and maybe give a reason why, but just learn how to say no every now and then.
Now, entrepreneurs are great at addition and horrible at subtraction. So we like to add things to the plate, but we don't like to take an equal number off.
Agreed.
So I just figured out my problem right there. I like that. Here's a little plea the fifth. Is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
Well, so, you know, full disclosure, I'm not married, but we often call my partner and I business husband and business wife, because it very much in a partnership, from what I understand of marriage, it's very similar. So I think that, you know, it's kind of like any profession that's going to be a little bit uncertain, a little bit freewheel. It's certainly, it becomes an obsession sometimes. So I think you have to be aware of that. But I think people that are committed to any profession, if you're a physician or a doctor, you're going to find that sort of single-mindedness. So as long as you're okay riding the roller coaster a little bit, I don't think that there's an issue. If you know what you're getting into going in.
I got one more here I'm going to ask on a plead the fifth, Chris, because I just have to do it. I was thinking about Greg. And so where's the best place in Atlanta if you're going to get dinner at the bar? The single best place to get dinner at the bar.
All right. So this is a constantly moving target. And it evolves over time. And for those of you that don't know, I have a blog that I barely write called takeittothebar.com, because I do believe the single best place to eat in any establishment around the world is at the bar, because you can see your guy at all times. Right now, Rathman Steak is tough to beat. They've got three guys behind the bar that all know who you are. I walk in and I literally, they ask me, are you going to have a beer or are you having a grown-up drink tonight? Wow. And if I say grown-up drink, it's just served to me. I don't even have to order it. So it's one of those kinds of places that, you know, and that's in my neighborhood. And you know, it's one of those things that you walk in, you feel at home. It hurts on the way out when you get to the getting the check, but it is the place right now to get to sit at the bar for sure.
Wow. What did you learn your first few years in business that that you think would be helpful to a startup entrepreneur?
You can't do it all. You know, I think that early on, it was one of those temptations that, well, no one's going to do it like I'm going to do it, so I'll just do it. And you come to a place where, in a business where you're selling hours, that's just completely impractical. You cannot scale because there's only so many hours in your life. But in addition to that, it's very narrow. It's pretty unfulfilling because you never have that moment where you have that little taste of fear where you give up control, and that amazing rush when you get a surprise back, something that you never would have thought of, that you wouldn't have been able to do. And I think that was the hardest thing for me to kind of realize that I don't have to do everything. That said, I still try and know how to do everything. My friend who owns a restaurant uses look, I'm not the best chef in our restaurant, but I can do it. And that way you understand what the people you're asking to perform, what it is that they have to do. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to be aware. And I think that was the kind of the corollary to that lesson, that I can't do it all, but I damn sure better know how it's done.
All right. So what do you think is the biggest psychological price you've paid as an entrepreneur?
Isn't that without the scotch, by the way?
Well, that's usually the remedy to that psychological price. You know, it's interesting. I don't know that there's a price per se. I think that there can be a level of anxiety that you have at times. If you have a client that all of a sudden has sort of a south turn and you're kind of wondering, is that client still going to be around? Or, you know, it's the typical anxieties, I think, of running a business, but this time it's your business. So it's not that you're going to get fired. It's that the whole thing may go away. And that's really the biggest fear for me, is that we've built such a tight-knit group that I feel responsible for having them and, frankly, their kids as a part of our family. So I think that's the psychological price, is that you feel like you're carrying that sometimes, but the reward on the back end is so unbelievable. I had a tail fin wife come up to me at the Christmas party last year and said, you know, I just wanted to let you know, my husband is so happy working here that it makes him a better dad and it makes him a better husband and makes our family happy. And I had something caught in both of my eyes at that point, so I had to leave the room. But it the price that you pay, the reward, I think, is worth it, at least for me.
Well, for those of you that have never really gone down to the Virginia Highlands, where you've been down there, you're going to have to stop by at some point to see Greg's office, because it really is a cool pad.
If you can find it.
If you can find it. That's true. And anything and everything that you'd expect from that Mad Men type firm. It's awesome stuff. So for those folks that are listening today that may be starting out as an entrepreneur, they built up a business and they're thinking that their marketing, PR, their advertising strategy, their go-to-market strategy isn't right, how can they get in touch with you and your company to learn more about how to hire you?
Super easy. Tailfin.com. And there's a couple links for emails for new clients, or you can email me directly at greg G-R-E-G, at tailfin.com.
And by the way, if you haven't, you should really just check out the website anyway, because I think that what speaks volumes about their firm is even the way they've written the bios about everybody and the About Us in the section there is really cleverly done. It'll give you a feel of the kind of company they are and the quality of work that they do. So we want to say thanks for coming on the program today.
Hey, I had a blast. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, in 2 weeks, guys, we'll be back. We'll be off next week. I believe Lee Heisman's at the poker table in Las Vegas. That's why we won't be here next week. But in 2 weeks from now, we'll be back on the program. We'll be here with Richard Howe from Howe & Associates. Just how in the world do you start an accounting firm? We'll be right back here in a couple weeks with the Shrimp Tank.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.